Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and thanks so much for being with us. We've got a great show. We've got our good friend Art Sellinger joining us in just a little bit with some hot opinions, golf-wise and otherwise, that we'll talk about. And as always, Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios joining us. Even though they've moved from Hawaii, Frank, and back to the mainland, the American Express Championship coming up and the PGA Tour, the weather is still very, very nice. So when you watch it in Hawaii, oh, you're a little bit envious. Now they'll hit some West Coast and some cool venues, and that'll be pretty cool and neat as well. What's the weather like in Tennessee? Because all I've been seeing the last few days is that part of the country and east of you has been just dumped on by snow and ice and sleet and everything. Have you survived?
I sold my golf clubs. I bought some new Atomic skis. And
good thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been brutal
ski
here.
Tennessee.
Three snows since January 1. It's nuts.
Wow.
But it's melting off. It's pretty today. Going to be in that mid to upper 50s or right in there somewhere.
Okay.
And the snow's melting. It's still on the ground a little bit, but it's melting off. And it's just been nuts. So
yeah.
I'm ready to play some golf, but our club, well, guess what? It's underwater because now it's all the snow melt.
Melted.
So anyway, it's,
so it's a good time to
be. If I wanted to live in Montana, I'd have moved there. You know what I mean?
But it is a good time for the Titans in football. We're going to talk about that with our good friend Art Sellinger because he's got some hot opinions, as everybody does. Football is just brings out every sport fan wants to talk about it in either a good way or bad way or whatever. We'll talk a little bit about that. And he joins us right now. Art Sellinger is on the phone with us. How you doing, Art?
Gentlemen, good morning from Dallas, Texas.
Good morning. Dak Prescottville.
It's so funny to listen to the radio now. Of course, everybody's a Monday morning quarterback. But
of course.
Honestly, this was so predictable. It really was. And everybody can second guess, but that's an unhealthy running back we have. And why he played in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania a week ago is beyond me when you could have rested him for, you know, 2 weeks and at least he gives his best shot. I mean, the man's carried the ball, Zeke Elliott, over 1,500 times in his career. Did he really need some more reps in Philly and some more collisions and more banging with that knee? I don't get the analogy there. Does 12 wins really matter when Philly rested everybody? And I know that didn't work for them, but again, it's the sense of urgency. And I see other teams playing like their lives are on the line and others just playing for a paycheck. So
yeah. I think Art's exactly right. And talking about the Cowboys, which is, you know, everybody in the country talks about the Cowboys because you love them, you hate them. I mean, they are what they are and you love, you hate Jerry and on. And it's been that way. This is such a constant theme if you follow the Cowboys at any level whatsoever of success. You can go to Tony Romo. So now we're talking well into 15 years or more between Tony Romo, probably closing on 20, between Romo and Dak now at quarterback. Same story. So that's 20 years almost of the Cowboys' existence with those two quarterbacks who have put up big numbers and set records, team records, and done this and done that, and running backs and receivers and all the different things, different drafts and. And what do you get for it? Like three playoff victories in 10. And they're all they do is win one game, a wild card game, and they lose the next round.
You have a pretty stadium.
That's all they've done.
You have a pretty stadium.
Yes.
Gorgeous stadium.
But he's exactly right. Do you see much difference between what you're seeing now with the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy that you saw for the 10 years previous to that with Jason Garrett?
I actually, they just have better players now for him versus Garrett, in my opinion. You know, the Parcells era with the Cowboys, he didn't have that much. And I think he did a great job because he doesn't take crap from anybody. I just unfortunately think that when you get gifted the star on your helmet and you walk onto that field and you're paraded around, you know, it just, I'll tell you what, you just lose the humility that you need on every single play. Every inch, every snap, no motions, and it's just a hunger. And you look at the other teams and how well prepared they are out of the gate, and I equated it to golf. You cannot double bogey the first hole. You've got to hit the first fairway. You can't be hitting a punt shot and then trying to chip up and make par on the first hole. The first hole, you need a solid drive, a solid look at the green, and then a putt that might go in or just barely miss and a tap in. And that to me is the equivalent of 2 to 3 first downs. And yeah, their first possession, they lose 13 yards. The next thing you know, open your eyes and you're down 10-0. And I think if you counted all the games in the modern Super Bowl era, the teams that are down 10-0 in the playoffs, how many of those lose the game versus win? I mean, you cannot get out of the gate that way. You cannot be 5 lengths behind in the Kentucky Derby, you know, after a quarter mile or 7 lengths or whatever, after a half mile, and expect to win. It's tough. Yeah. I think they just cannot come out of the gate. There's just such a sense of entitlement to me. Because look at all those teams that won with Brady in New England. I mean, those, how many Yellow Jackets are going to be in Canton from those teams, honestly? Not many.
Not many. No, not many is the point. It was all attitude, coaching, strategy, all those things.
Leadership. You're right. Leadership.
Tom Brady seldom had a running back. None of us could name 3 running backs that ever played for Brady in 20 years. Right? You have no idea. Other than Randy Moss and the Edelmans, right, the slot guys, how many wide receivers? People can't. So you're right. He had Gronk. He's a Hall of Famer for
Gronk's
sure.
Gronk's going to go, but is Amendola going to go? Is Edelman going to go? No.
Wes Walker.
I think they had Curtis Martin at one time, but I mean, they're just not going into. They're not getting a bust in Canton. That's all it's to it. But they are a team, and they have a leader in number 12 at 40. Who knows how many
45.
Years old? and it's just, you know what it is. They don't want to make a mistake for him because they're afraid to, and they just want it more. They're hungry, and I'm seeing the same thing with how Mahomes lifts up his sideline. You know, so it's, I saw the urgency in San Francisco in every play. I saw the urgency last night with the Rams, and it's just, again, it's, they are playing like they're do or die.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
That's what it takes.
Remember talking about Brady? Of course, this quarterback didn't do what Brady did. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Brady is the GOAT, but remember George Blanda when he played for the Oakland Raiders?
Yeah.
Sure.
And he played well up, and he became the kicker for the team.
Yes.
I mean,
right.
But a leader. He was a leader and took that team in shambles and still won games with them.
Well, there is, to Art's point, and I agree with you, Art, there's a difference. When you're drafting guys, this is where the evaluation really comes in. You've got to draft the right attitude guys, not just the ones who do 4.2 40s, who jump 40 inches in the vert, who get all those numbers. But if they're the guy that isn't going to dive in on a loose ball, isn't going to, if you watch that last play, I'm going to throw a guy into the bus right here, Anthony Brown, cornerback for the Cowboys. That last sweep, if you will, that Debo had, that he needed a first down, right? And they had to take time out and measure it and everything. He came up about 6 inches short. That was a play that was like 3rd and 10. If they hold him, they punt, they get the ball back. Urgency there. This guy, who's the cornerback, to the side the running is going, the game is going to, the play, jogging the whole way and never even, like, he kind of half tap danced with the guy who was blocking him, never really an urgency, and sure enough, the guy goes right by him and dives, and that was that just showed you, and that was with 3 minutes left in the game, that what the hell is that guy even doing on the field? And he stayed on the field, and to your point, where's the discipline, Art, right? If the guys keep jumping off sides, do they ever come to the bench and get yelled at by the coach and say, sit down, get somebody out there that doesn't know? Never see that happen.
That's exactly it right there. If you are prepared, then you are prepared mentally, not just physically, and you are so frozen and locked in that you don't even hear the crowd, see the fireworks and all the crap, because look at how many penalties and look how many yards.
Pitiful.
Because they don't play like every inch matters. And I'm not questioning, you know, these guys are great athletes, I get all that, but as a unit, you have to play where every inch matters. No penalties, playing clean the best you can, and I just don't see it. And that comes down to coaching. I think if you're a player and you're not in fear of A, losing your job, and B, losing period, and that's not how you're born, and that's not in your heart, then you can forget it. You just got to not want to lose and not let anybody else down.
Yeah. Well, so who do you like then, Art? And we're talking with Art Sellinger. Who do you like in the playoffs? Frank, of course, is a big Titans fan. You going to the game, Frank, the next game?
Gave the tickets away for the Bengals game.
Oh, the Bengals game, really?
I did.
Didn't want to go? Yeah.
Well, no, I wanted to, but it's going to be really cold. And,
you know,
I just don't want to get in the crowd right now. I'm holding out for the Super Bowl. I will go to that if we go. So
who do you like, Art? Who do you like going to the Super Bowl?
I think it'll be it's going to be – I think Tampa is going to win the NFC. I really do. Yeah. And I think that on the other side, I'm anxious to see this next round. But if I had to pick right now, I'm going to go with the Chiefs and the Bucks. Wow, that's original. But that's just what it is.
Well, been there, done that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just what I feel. That's just, you know, Buffalo is dangerous.
Oh, very.
And
very.
We saw last night the Rams are dangerous. But again, you think about it, Stafford, I mean, that was his first playoff win, right?
Right.
First playoff win. How many playoff wins has Brady had, right? You got more playoff wins than some guys have.
He's got 35.
I hate to say this, but don't count out Joe Burrow and the way he can play.
No. They're dangerous.
Cincinnati is dangerous. They're scaring me to death.
There's no question they're dangerous, but doesn't, you know, and again, we haven't talked about Green Bay, and I know that if they win, then Brady has to go, you know, to the ice. But remember, he won six of them going through New England, so he ain't scared of cold weather just because he's had 2 years in Florida. He can play in cold weather. So that's what I think. I just think that this time it comes down to heart and it comes down to control and team. And that's who's going to – this is what you'll see win.
Yeah, we can't win – Tennessee can't win off of the arm solely of Tannehill, period. If they can shut Henry down this coming weekend even, he's coming back. Is he going to be 100%? Yeah. If they shut Henry down, we lose. Yeah, and that's right. It's over.
Yeah.
Because we can't beat Burrow's arm. We can't beat it.
Yeah, but you guys have done a pretty good job. What, 12-5 this year? Tennessee's done a pretty good job.
Really good job, given the fact that we've run 90 players through that team. I mean, Vrabel is an incredible coach.
There you go. Right, you're not going to mess up with Vrabel. He'll kick you in the.
He will. Oh yeah, he'll have you swimming the Cumberland River back over to downtown.
Yeah, McCarthy will eat you. You know, and like chicken wings. But
do you think they're going to fire him here, Tim? You live here. So yeah, what do you think?
The question is that they've got Dan Quinn right there, and everybody's really hot on Dan Quinn. He's interviewing today with the Denver Broncos. He's the defensive coordinator. The thought is, if we as a team, the Cowboys are thinking we could lose Quinn because he's wanted by all these other teams. Do we keep Quinn and say, okay, he's our guy. He's more of what we probably need that's going to kick some butt and do whatever and let McCarthy go? Or I think what's happening probably more than anything is that Jerry's giving McCarthy a pass on last year, right, with all the COVID and everything that happened. I think he's kind of saying, okay, that was a bastardized kind of season.
And
Dak was hurt. So this is really his first year. We won the division. We won 12 games, blah, blah, blah. I think he's going to kind of – so I think he'll – he'll stick with McCarthy, is what I'm thinking.
You do.
And McCarthy came in having won in Green Bay, having a very good win, one loss percentage. I mean, he had credentials. He didn't just get Jason Garrett like a former coordinator.
He had credentials. I got to interrupt you. He had players, and, you know, I got a feeling the three of us might have done pretty good with that Switzer team that won the Super Bowl. We just said, you know what, guys, go do what you do. We're going to go play nine holes. We'll be back at the half. Troy, Emmett, Michael, and all you other Hall of Famers, y'all got it?
Do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
Knock them dead, boys.
Eight, you're in charge. We're going to go play Dallas National, and then we'll make the road trip up. We'll check on you, and then we're going to play nine more at Vaquero, and we'll see what the
– Yeah, I like the way you think.
That wasn't too far from the truth, actually.
It's the truth. Come on.
Yeah, that's what Switzer did.
You couldn't mess that up. Just get out of the way.
That was pretty close. Hey, again, we're talking with Art Selinger, and, of course, owner of Long Drivers of America for years and years, a long drive event that we've all seen on TV for a long, long time. Selinger's Power Golf here in Dallas, which is a custom-fitting golf emporium now that he runs and has a lot of people coming to get the specifics made with their clothes. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I do want to ask you, Art, since you have been and have always been in the equipment business and interest in equipment from long driving down to putting, PGA Merchandise Show is just 10 days away. And it's always been a huge deal pre-COVID in Orlando, 80,000, 100,000 people there and millions of square feet of space. And you see every the latest and greatest from Callaway and Titleist and everybody else. And they're down to bare bones. this year. Is this a sign of the times to come with a merchandise show of that magnitude that we won't see it again? They'll just realize they can do it virtually, or the Titleists and the big guys who are saying we're not even going period this year will decide to save the money and not go ever again?
Here's my take on this. As an owner of golf shops, so therefore I'm a buyer, and I've been in the business for a lot of years, almost 20 years, okay? To me, that is a vacation. Sorry. And primarily everybody that's in the snow belt, they love to do it. They love to come to Florida. For me, operating my business, I have not been there in – I'll put it this way. I used to go because I managed Jamie Sedlowski, because he did demonstrations for Cleveland out there and product promotions with Srixon and stuff like that. For my business, I do not have to go. And I run a very, very large business here in Dallas. It is the most unnecessary thing. And these manufacturers are only goaded into going because they don't want to let the PGA of America down. But TaylorMade stopped going pre-COVID.
Yes, they did.
You know, and many others haven't gone, and they were just looking for an excuse not to go. All it does is cost them more than seven figures to wine and dine and do all this. They don't. It does not change their business. It just changes their perception, and with the governing body of the club professional, which I have nothing against, but I run a business and I sell more golf clubs at my place than 30 clubs combined in this town. There's, you know, these reps, they're still outside reps. Now, I think I'm not in the clothing part of things, so maybe that's something to get pre-booked. I don't know really how that works. We have a lot of clothing that we do, and they all come visit us, these reps, and they show us the lines, and we buy what's available. You know, I think it is one of the biggest waste of times I've ever seen and biggest cost of money. And if I ran a golf club company, I'm sorry, I would spend my money with the PGA of America in a different fashion than going to the PGA show.
Sure. Hey, Art, do you know who's do you know who's going to be there from a club manufacturer standpoint?
Well, I know Callaway's not going to be there. TaylorMade's not going to be there. Cleveland Strixon pulled out. PXG's never gone. I don't know about Cobra.
Titleist, Cobra, Tour Edge, nobody. No equipment manufacturer will be there. It's over.
COVID excuse, and they just saved a ton of money. Yeah. They're writing more business than they know what to do with. It is just not necessary to build these boots and have all this
stupid
stuff. I remember the last time I was there, I think Callaway had a tank and an airplane wing in there or something. It's just another smoke show.
Listen,
we're fitting the Stealth Driver right now. We got our demos. We understand the product. Our rep is really good. We understand the carbon face and how it works. And I have experts in my building. We know how to fit golf clubs, and we'll get the demos for the Rogue ST next week. Obviously, that's clubs off to a good start. Ping's carrying over. Titleist will change in September. There's some irons out there. And you know, I just cannot think of one reason other than just feel some warm weather, which I do when I go play tournaments. But from a business standpoint, last place I need to be.
Well, here's the rub on this whole thing, too. Let's look at what the PGA of America is doing in Frisco, Texas. They're building a convention center there, too. So don't you think that probably next year, given the fact that it's going to be in Frisco? And I was told by I won't mention the name high up in the PGA of America that they have less than 7,000 registrations for this show.
Yeah.
It's dead. 80,000 normally, 100,000
normally. Yeah, it's just crazy huge. So,
they count that 80,000, 100,000, Tim, over the whole 3.5 days of the deal plus the demo day.
It's probably 30,000 people, 35,000 maybe.
Yeah.
Again, and how many of them down there are booking golf, whether it's in Tampa, Orlando, or in between or south of there? It's a getaway for them. There's a big concentration of private clubs throughout the Eastern Seaboard and then the Mid-Atlantic and then the Upper Midwest, and they're freezing, and they want to get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to go. And just get a little vacation. You can get hammered at night and get, you know, maybe have the manufacturer throw a cocktail party
at night.
You need
at art at night. Yeah, they have booze on the show floor. Come on, you get hammered during the day. Moon. Yeah,
right. Absolutely. Day drinking,
baby.
When I'm dealing with shaft manufacturers from Mitsubishi to Fujikura to Graphite Design to KBS, True Temper, down the line, and I got these guys on speed dial, and I'm just fine. I don't need to go there to do any. I just can't think of it. So anyway, I'm not a big show fan, and I understand what it's about, but the manufacturers just saved a lot of coin, a lot of time, and they got other fish to fry other than stand on the floor and say, hey, here's our new wedge and driver. Check it out.
I mean, well, Frank, you've gone a bunch of times.
I've been forever.
I've gone 20 times.
Yeah.
But do you think that it will never be back to what it used to be? Do you think people are going to say similar to what Art said, or they're already been thinking
that anyway? I do. I do. And all of the people, all the people I've talked to across the country, from the West Coast just the other day, someone told me, said, yeah, this is it. It's dying on the vine. I think that we found that, well, everybody's already put their orders in, okay? Their orders for all the equipment's already been put in. It was put in October through December. And like Art said, this is a vacation.
I placed every order. Yeah. I placed every single pre-book.
So why go to the show? You know, why go? Silly. Yeah. I think it's going to change big time. And it needs to. The old trade show days and the booth babes and the, you know, when Back Nine Network was around. Remember, they have Flava Flav down there, and everybody was just clamoring to meet this crazy guy with a clock hanging around his neck, for God's sake.
Yeah, Frank, you're so right. And again, the times have changed on how you can do business with virtual stuff.
Yeah.
And again, they're doing their sales meeting. Listen, if they can conduct their sales meeting virtually, they don't have to go to a show, because what they used to do, like Tideless, would get their 3 days early and have their meeting and then do the show. So you can imagine hundreds of employees down there for a whole week. You know, that just comes right off the bottom line. You need more people. You need much more R&D they can hire and do, and how efficient they can be than wasting a week of their time. The most critical preparation time during an explosion of golf. You need to take a week, your management and your – it makes no sense to me. There's nobody that will ever convince me that that is a great spend and a great spend of time.
Yeah, and the cost of those off-white blazers that all the Titleist boys wore.
Great? That's right. If I had some stinking training aid or some gadget or something, I'd get a little 10x10 booth for a couple G's and, you know, a couple thousand, three, and I wanted to sell it to golf pros who predominantly, you know, don't jack with that stuff anyway. You're going to have to do this direct. You can't. If you're gonna invent something, A, and depend on a golf pro for your success to sell it, you might want to redo your business plan. And don't talk to Mark Cuban and tell him you just need 1% of the golfers, because he will throw your ass right off the
by the way,
does anybody hate golf more than Mark?
No, he hates it. He does.
I'll tell you what. The times I've been there, the extravagant booths, and it's not even the right term, right? Some manufacturers, so Callaway and Titleist and the big boys, but also Ralph Lauren.
Oh, and Nike. Ralph Lauren builds a whole store inside there. Peter Millar.
As expensive as a home to build, I think, because it had wood trim, it had crown mold. The places they had just so you could come in and shop were so over the top, it was unbelievable. So, the money you're spending, that's got to save $200,000.
More than that.
Travel and everything, I'm telling you, there are many that spent more than $1 million going down there.
Yeah.
I mean, the costs are just so crazy right now.
Orlando. A lot of business they're going to miss out on.
This stuff together. You've got to remember the dinners and all the and they would host golf tournaments, you know. And I mean, it just – I think that they can take those resources. And I'm noticing that the manufacturers – I was really afraid of the disappearance of the outside rep. I rely on my outside reps. We're old-fashioned the way we do it, and I need to see them come in my shop, and they do – and they service us great. And I was afraid that they were going to eliminate that and make me just call the inside rep who I don't see and just really make us work a little harder as accounts. And that has not happened just yet. That's Ping, that's Titleist, that's Callaway, that's, you know, TaylorMade and Cobra and the big guys. I don't know where the others stand on on this, but it's critical, especially these days when you need inventory. You know, we're right now turning golf clubs in 3 to 7 days for folks, but I've got more inventory than a lot of PGA Tour superstores, to be quite honest with you. I was very prepared. We had a record year last year, and I bought a record amount of stuff last November, and I'm glad I did.
Do you think that these manufacturers, the big boys, are looking at the PXG model and thinking,
They're definitely they're already selling direct, Frank. I don't think they're going to alienate their customers. I was, when PXG came out, it was a niche deal. We never want to take advantage of our customers. A customer had to ask me to try it. I would never bring it out because, remember, it was $400 to $450 an iron.
Yep,
that's crazy. The man said he'd never make a non-forged club. Well, he created the O211. The man said he would never discount his stuff. Well, right now he's 20% or more less than the big boys. He's selling a 299 driver, and he's got last year's iron up there for $77. Yeah. And all you got to do is just basically mention that your friend's friend's uncle's brother's cousin's nephew was in the military, and you get the discount.
So, listen, I want
they got a damn box set. So yeah. I just marvel at these business models. But yes, they are going vertical integration. You know, Callaway wants that database, that name. That's their customer that they can send to Travis Matthew, get all the new Callaway stuff. They can send him right to Topgolf. They want to own the customer. So everybody asks me, who's your biggest competitor? Well, of course, Club Champion's a great player in this game, and so is Cool Clubs and TruSpec. But I got to be honest with you, the manufacturer is my greatest competitor because they are trying to fit you guys virtually. And they're trying to sell you direct, and they can sit and lie to my face all they want, but they want you, and they want. So that's who I'm most concerned about is the manufacturer. Yeah. Period. So I'm not anybody else who's fitting and building clubs. We're doing just fine.
We're talking with Art Selinger. Selinger's Power Golf is his stores that he's referencing, and the website SellingersPowerGolf.com. Art, is that your website?
It is. We've got two fitting studios here in Dallas and a nice partnership with Dallas National. And we are full, and my employees are doing great. I've got a great team. They're busting it because, again, we don't have you come in, Tim, and go you through a whole rigmarole and get you all fit and get your specs and then get on the phone and email them to somebody at TaylorMade or Callaway or whoever or Ping and then wait God knows how long for them to build the clubs. And then have them come in and be responsible for a not-so-perfect build. We want our build to be perfect. We stand behind them. We are not permitted to call an order in to one manufacturer, period. That is not the way we do business. We build it all ourselves, in-house. That way, we're in it with you all the way through. And if it doesn't work on the course, we're going to make it right. But I can't trust an assembly line to build your custom clubs because then I've lost control. So that's where we're at. We're good.
There's a difference right there. And you've worked with and out at Dallas National, you mentioned, where you have one of your shops and a facility. And Bryson DeChambeau works out there an awful lot, hits balls, does all the things he's done. And you've seen him. And I don't want to say anything that's official or not official, but you certainly have been around Bryson quite a bit and his equipment. What are the equipment restrictions? What are we looking at now? Did I remember seeing something a few weeks ago that the USGA or somebody wanted to limit the length or –
Yeah, they did that.
What the length
is? 46-inch driver, that's at the universal address position of 60 degrees. Unless you have a table measurer, you will not be able to, a Mitchell table measure, a USGA measuring device, you can't measure your golf club. But for pros, that is up to the local governing bodies for a tournament. I play senior amateur golf at a high level, and I haven't seen that come up yet. But on tour, it's come up. On tour, they removed the greens book as well. I think that's big and a good direction. I think the length thing at 46 inches isn't going to affect. You know, there have been a few guys that dabbled with a 47, and Brooke Henderson was hitting a 48 and, really perfected that well. So there's a handful of players it might affect, but I don't think it has any effect on the game. Look, these guys at 46-inch drivers in. Look what they did the last 2 weeks. I mean, normally, why lie? And I know the wind wasn't up, and I know it wasn't concrete. I was visiting with John Rollins, who does some PGA Tour announcing through the radio and stuff. Early in the week, I said, what do you think wins? He goes, First man to 13 and stays there gets it. I said, I think they're going deeper. I did not think they'd go to 23. Is that what they shot? 23, right?
Yeah.
23. Shoot 257 at that golf course where you got to walk single file down fairways. Again, and I know it was on its knees. It wasn't blowing 20 or 25. I get that, but these guys shot 34 red at Kapalua. That is a good four-man amateur high-level score. Here,
yeah.
They shoot 23 here. I mean, you know what they're going to do this week in the desert if it doesn't blow? I mean, they're birdie in half the holes they play. So you could take the driver, cut it to 44. They're going to shoot the same scores. They're just going to hit it straighter. That was a zero effect on the game. Zero.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that rule. I don't get it. Go ahead.
What about other equipment? When you talk about equipment, and we talk about the driver a lot, and certainly with you we do for obvious reasons.
Sure, I'll tell you something here.
Well, yeah. What else is coming out? Putters are always evolving and changing and
putters
and whatever else.
Yeah, but I want to say one thing. If they want to help the game a little bit, you know, there's no testing from a legality standpoint of conformance as far as spring like effect on the face with fairways and hybrids. And those, the three wood, the fairway metal is out of control. It is a lethal weapon.
Yeah.
And you saw what Hideki did, but not only from the fairway, but off the tee. It's a lethal weapon. And especially the low lofted ones, these guys have two 300 yard, almost 300 yard weapons, one definitely over it in their bag. The fairway metal is not tested. And just so you know, all my high speed players, juniors, collegiates, professionals, even amateurs, they break them once to twice a year. They compromise the face, manufacturers warranty them, and there you go. And so there's no testing of conformance on a three wood. So they can make them thin and replace them, and these guys are hitting three woods miles. Three woods need to be pushed back and controlled. And well, I think that then you'd see a big difference a little bit in the game.
Art, remember when Tour Edge came out with the exotic three wood?
That face was so thin. Frank, you're right on.
Oh my God! I still have one of those in the. I'm looking at it over here.
Sure.
Oh my God!
But again, there's no testing there, and you know, Henrik Stenson made $35 million with a three wood.
He did.
At least, you know. So anyway, I think I don't know what else to do. These guys are incredible players, and the women are incredible players. You know, you can hide pins. But I think the PGA Tour wants to put a product out there. This is PGA Tour. This is not World Golf. This is not majors. This is not Arnie and Jack's event and events like Wells Fargo and places like that. It's different. This is the American Express. This is a show. 70% of the country's under, and they know come springtime for Augusta is when they can go out and hit it. And they don't. The PGA Tour is not worried about these players shooting 65 every day or less. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think the best players in the world, when they play a normal golf course that they play on the PGA Tour, when they go off, they're going to shoot 9 red. And that's okay because they're that good. Should the pro bowler on his best game shoot 200 or should he shoot 300? He should shoot 300 because he's that good. You know, so there's nothing. That's what these guys do. They're going to shoot 7 to 9 when they go off. Maybe even they're not afraid to shoot 11. I mean, they just it's such an also ran anymore. At Wailea, they put up stats on the first day and course record. Justin Thomas, 59. Oh, nothing. You know, how many guys shot 11 red at Kapalua in that week? It was just like rolled off your tongue.
So Art, is this a Tiger effect? Is it an attitude that has changed that golfers are going for broke more than they used to? They're not playing the down the middle, steady golf, and let's get a couple of birdies and shoot different. Certainly they're better. They're more talented. But is it also a mindset that you've got to continue to attack the golf course and get as low as you can get?
For sure. These kids all kill it, number one. The instruction for those that have access at the junior golf level, especially we're in one of the biggest production towns of these young men and women for golf in the country here in Dallas. And the teaching in this town is incredible. And they're working out and training and they're all swinging at 120 plus, and it's just the new normal. So then you couple that with the equipment And again, they have training for their body. They've got mental coaches. They're just come. That's why there's no shock when Morikawa comes out or Rahm comes out. Like, my surprise level for these players winning majors this early in their career, zero. Zero. Yeah. They're just that ready. They're that seasoned. So it's, you know, I remember sitting with Tim Reed, and he told me what Sam Burns was going to do one day. I mean, he was so hot on Sam Burns, and Tim signed him from Callaway. It's one of the best signs I've ever seen. And then, you know, because he came out when Rahm and them came out, I believe, and he went, he got Sam, and he ended up backdooring and getting Rahm from TaylorMade. But there's zero shock to me if a 20-year-old young person comes out and wins a major. I mean, there's just – there's no fear – and they're that good, and the golf swings are phenomenal, and they're in impeccable shape, and they're just prepared.
Yeah, I think it's a whole revolution, if you will, and it started, I believe, it's another impact that Tiger can take credit for.
For sure.
That he kind of said, you know, here, I'm going to be an athlete, and I'm going to play this game, and I'm not going to go play football or basketball or whatever a lot of other athletes, air quotes, used to do. So it's really, really, really fascinating. Art, we appreciate your time, and as always, and your insight. I'm putting money. By the way, you always used to go to Vegas for Super Bowl weekend. Are you back to going or not going?
This is what we do. We go to the Super Bowl every year. We probably bet upwards of 150 prop bets. Just to keep track of this for the four or five of us is an act of Congress right there. We need spreadsheets on what we do. I mean, and so we don't bet big, but we all group it together. So we probably got 150 prop bets. We have chosen Biloxi, Mississippi this year.
All right.
We have rented a really nice house on the beach, and we're going to play three rounds of golf and cook the meals there and hang out. We can, of course, bet online or go up to the casino if we need to throw the bones a little bit. But that is, we're going to stay away from Las Vegas and all the crap that's going on out there and let that die down for a year. I'm sure, hopefully, we'll be back there next year.
You're going to love the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It's fun down there. Biloxi's
it is. I hope we get some good weather, Frank. You know, there's really good golf down there.
Yeah.
It's an hour and 15-minute flight from Dallas, and I'm the one that came up with the idea. I said, I really don't want to go to Vegas, boys. So they listened. And I just hope we get good weather for our golf.
Yeah.
And hopefully TB12 is there. And that's just money in the bank.
How do you bet against them? Artie, we appreciate it as always. Have a great time.
Be good,
and we'll talk to you after the Super Bowl.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Art Selinger. Again, Selinger's Power Golf.
Yes, sir.
It's you know what, Frank? Obviously, I've known Art for 100 years, and that was just a side kind of business that he got started as he was deciding to kind of phase out of owning long drivers and all the events and everything else they did for long drivers. And it just almost started, probably he would tell you it did, out of back of his car, his SUV. And little by little, he started building a few more and helping a guy here. And it was mostly long drivers that he would try to make clubs for them and stiff shafts like telephone poles and the whole thing. But then it evolved into, maybe I could do this for the common person, to the point now where it's almost like you get the sense he has to turn business away, right? He's got so much coming in his front door, but good for him. I mean, it's really worked out well for him, and he's turned it into, we've told you before, the Tony Romo walks in there, all kinds of guys in the Dallas area, pro golfers and others, athletes. And the beauty of Art, if you know Art, he goes, you know what, when people think that these big name celebrities, a cowboy or whoever it might be, wants, some free, because, everybody knows athletes get everything free and all that. He's like, nobody can afford this more than you can, Tony Romo. Not that he would, but
he'll tell him that. Yeah, that's Art.
And he'd say, yeah. So the driver's $500. I give it to you for $499. And I mean, that's about.
That's Art.
That's Art. Whereas other guys are like, oh, Mr. Romo, can I give you something free?
Are you telling me that Art's not going to comp me some swag when I come over?
Art won't comp his mother swag. No, full boat, baby, full boat.
Oh, I'll just borrow the money from
you. He's absolutely right. I mean, these guys are coming in here who make $20 million a year and go, really? Can I get some free stuff? Like, really? You want free stuff? Because these other guys that don't make a fraction of what you make are all paying, but you should get it free. So Art's never. And to be honest, he goes, and I don't think anybody's ever walked away and said, well, screw you. He goes, they get it. They're like, okay, I can afford it. I'll pay for it. So anyway, but it's good for him. And all the other things that he's into. But I love talking with Art, because he's always got good insight into the merchandise show and where that might be evolving and equipment and players and all that. So, yeah, it's good. And Super Bowl stuff.
Yeah.
Always bet, always bet with Art.
Let's
take a break. You want to take a break? And,
yeah, let's do that.
We can come back and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the PGA Tour. American Express at La Quinta is getting ready to get kicked off as they come back to the mainland. So we'll talk about that and more stuff when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we shall return right after this.
Golf Talk America wants to welcome a new sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it is America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less, plus quick and easy meals including 20-minute recipes and low-prep and easy cleanup options. Provide an even faster route to putting food on your table. Okay, so let's talk money, because a lot of people assume you pay more for HelloFresh because of the quality and how much easier it makes your life. Wrong, wrong, wrong on so many levels, folks. HelloFresh is actually 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. And you save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. I just tried HelloFresh for the first time, and let me tell you, folks, I absolutely love it. No kidding aside, it was easy. I was skeptical, but the food was super fresh, easy to prepare, easy to clean up, and the portions were absolutely perfect. Not too much, not too little, just convenient and delicious. Ready to try HelloFresh? Go to HelloFresh.com/GTA16 and use code GTA16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/GTA16 and use code GTA16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. The great Arnold Palmer once said, "Golf is deceptively simple and endlessly complicated." This quote applies to investing, too. It sounds easy, right? Invest your money and watch it grow. But 90% of people lose money in the stock market. Just remember, you can't control the markets, but you can control your risk. So how do billionaire investors control their risk? They diversify their portfolios with alternative assets like blue chip art. In fact, many billionaires allocate 10 to 30% of their entire portfolios to art. The simple fact is that blue chip art prices outpaced the S&P 500 by 164% from 1995 to 2020. That's why I was so excited when I found Masterworks. This alternative investing platform lets you invest in paintings by legends like Andy Warhol, Monet, and Picasso without spending millions. Over 300,000 people have signed up, and if you want priority access to their newest paintings, you need to log on to masterworks.art/golftalkamerica. That's masterworks.art/golftalkamerica. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclosures. Frank here, and I've heard a lot of people talking about making money with crypto. Now, I'm a stock market guy, and beyond Bitcoin, I don't know beans about crypto. So I did a little research and found a YouTube channel called Crypto with James. James is cryptocurrency expert James McMahon, and he has history of success in crypto. His site is called Copy My Crypto, and it shows you the actual cryptocurrencies that he himself owns. So you can take, learn, or simply copy what he does. It's like having a family member in crypto who actually knows what they're doing. As an example, James's top pick for 2021 is a coin called Phantom. And it is currently up over 440 times from when he first made mention of it. Imagine if you had invested even $1,000 in just that one coin. The Crypto with James YouTube channel has over 15,000 subscribers and 1 million views. So join the 1,300 members who learn or copy James by going to copymycrypto.com/golftalkamerica. That's copymycrypto.com/golftalkamerica. You'll not only find proof of everything I've said, but Golf Talk America listeners can join for just $1. You won't find this offer anywhere else. That's copymycrypto.com/golftalkamerica.
In life, we're all bound for different things. With beachbound.com, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness. or maybe bound for encountering the unexpected. Beachbound is an online travel agency with expertise in worldwide beach vacations and experiences. They're reinventing beach travel. With Beachbound.com, customers can book worldwide beach vacations that include flights, hotels, transfers, and excursions. They're a one-stop travel shop. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at a poolside bar. Hey, as long as I have a great view and a cold drink in my hand, I'm as happy as I can be. With Beachbound.com, you can find your perfect beach vacation worldwide because there's a beach out there waiting for you with Beachbound.com. Visit Beachbound.com to book your next beach vacation. That's Beachbound.com. What are you bound for?
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett.
Hey.
Golf Talk America.
Hey.
brought to you by Club Corp. Remember to check them out at clubcorp.com. If you're in the mood for joining a club, you can kind of test the waters a little bit. Find a local club near you by going to clubcorp.com anywhere in the country. And they'll let you come try it out. See if you like the facilities, the golf course, the people, all that kind of stuff. And the beauty of it is when you join, and you're going to want to join. But when you join, you get privileges at all the other country clubs and business clubs all around the country. So again, check them at clubcorp.com.
Yeah,
and find out more.
And so, by the way, we are also presented by the French Lick Resort. Go to FrenchLick.com and book a bucket list event for yourself. That's FrenchLick.com. And they you can play golf year-round up there. Now, you can't play the Pete Dye right now, but you can play the Donald Ross. And the
You play year-round as
you can. Course is open. It's overseeded. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying as long as some days you might call, like this week might have been a bad week.
it's a little brisk up there right now.
To get up there and play.
But
and
there's so much more to do than golf when you go up there,
the
too.
Snow and
casino,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Spa, casino. Pedicure.
Yeah. It's a neat place. It is. It's a very scenic place, too.
It is. It's really, really pretty.
People would probably think, and understandably so, I'm a Midwest guy, I'm probably think, so what? It's the middle of cornfields and stuff? But it's not. It's actually that part of Southern Indiana is very hilly. I wouldn't go as far as to say mountains, but really tall hills, if you will. And forest and trees is beautiful. It's just beautiful. And the French Lick Resort is right in the middle of all that. What is it in the middle of, Frank? What would Brendan tell us?
Deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest.
It's not a cornfield. It's really, really pretty.
No, it's gorgeous up there. The vistas are just incredible. It's everybody who's gone, everyone that I've taken up there that has never been, including yourself, they get there and they go, oh, my God, this is gorgeous. I never thought.
Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking Indiana, right? It's like, okay, Indiana, yeah. Illinois, Iowa, all the same, just, yeah. Flat and corn. But it ain't. Somehow down in there, which ad nauseum, I don't even need to bore people, but Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, kind of parallel states right there, they're almost, and they border the Mid-South. So they border Kentucky.
Yeah.
Right? They're right there near Tennessee. So it starts to get whatever those mountain ranges and hills and stuff. So that's the terrain, much more so than further up north, where Chicago area, it is very flat. Nothing much up there as far as terrain.
Bullets travel a lot further in Chicago than they do in
the southern part. Holy smokes. Oh, don't have to shoot over mountains. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Although the Hatfields and the McCoys were in Tennessee.
They were.
Oh, my Lord. Speaking of Tennessee.
What about Tennessee?
Today on the news this morning, we're in the top five cities for gun confiscations at TSA.
Is that right?
Bring your shotgun to the airport. Come on, people. Handguns, yeah.
How do people not know that they can't get a gun on a plane? And I know a lot of times they're going to forget. Maybe they're
how do you
lying
forget
to everybody.
You have a weapon?
Say, oh, I forgot that I
in your briefcase.
Do you always carry a gun when you put your bags together to travel?
Well,
why was that a forget?
Lady here in Nashville just bought a brand new Mercedes SUV, and the next day she drove out and got carjacked in Nashville. And of course they hang people here, they electrocute people, they'll gas them. I mean, this isn't California or New York. It's not going to be a cashless bond, I can promise you. You're going to be in jail if you screw up in Tennessee. And these people around here, buddy, they don't play. They just don't. I mean, you scratch my pickup truck, you're in big trouble.
Damn you.
Yeah. And don't even think about getting one of those spent Budweiser cans out of the bed of my pickup truck. I'm saving those for resale.
They are this week playing in a place that doesn't have to worry, I don't think, about the weather. Because as Art mentioned earlier, Art Sellinger, it really is just about the wind. And when you talk about La Quinta and this week's tournament,
yeah,
the American Express Championship at La Quinta, it's been several different things. It's gone through a lot of sponsorships, hasn't it, Frank?
Last it's years? Changed. It's changed, yeah, several times. Years, yeah.
It seems like it's going through different. But now it's the American Express Championship, a very good field. You have, well, the guy that everybody's in love with right now, that's John Rahm. And why wouldn't people be in love with John Rahm? He's just so phenomenal. The power game, the putting, everything that he can do is just, he can't miss it. We mentioned Patrick Cantlay. You and I were talking about that. He's going to be playing out there. Matthew Wolf's another guy that, back to Art.
Love Matthew Wolf.
Young guys that would come out of nowhere and light it on fire.
Yeah.
But he had a quick dip, right, in the last year, year and a half. But I think he's back. I think Matthew Wolf's another a guy you're going to have to keep your eyes on for the foreseeable future, because he did kind of skyrocket. And then, boy, what happened to Matthew Wolf?
Yeah.
He kind of dropped off.
He's a great follow on social media because he's really funny,
yeah,
and quick-witted and all that. But Jason Sobel said that after a tough season, he expects, you know, Matthew to be back on the path to superstardom this year. I mean, literally. Yeah. And he picked him as his pick to win this week.
Is that right?
So, yeah, Matthew Wolf. Patrick Cantlay has been picked by a bunch of different writers and staff writers and fantasy insiders and so on and so on. John Rahm has been picked twice. Patrick Cantlay has been picked three times. So,
well, Patrick, speaking of the American Express, runner-up last year at the American Express, shot a 61.
Yeah, I know.
To the point we were talking about earlier, is that these guys, your eyebrows used to be raised, right? When you'd be like, oh, wow, God, the guy went shot 62, 61. I think it's almost every tournament you could name from here forward, maybe with the exception of some majors, you think there's going to be a 61 or a couple of 61s. Yep. What was it at Kapalua? My bad. At Kapalua, didn't they shoot like three 61s in one day?
Yes.
Was it Justin Thomas, Rahm, and...
ridiculous. Just
and somebody
ridiculous.
Else shot a 60. Three of them in one day.
Kevin Na.
I can't shoot 61 on putt-putt. You know, I mean,
Kevin Na did it at Sony last week.
Did it? Yeah. So that was Cantlay last year to get runner-up. He shot his 61. But a good field. Scotty Scheffler, we get to see these guys again that we haven't maybe seen in a little bit of time that'll be playing. Will Zalatoris, the other young Dallas guy, will be playing as well.
Skinny Will.
Get back. Yeah, the guy who hits the ball 350 yards.
No kidding.
His driver weighs more.
He crushes it.
His driver. He's the skinniest. He's got to have like a 26-inch waist. I mean, it's just amazing.
Do you know
the speed?
You know, the PGA Tour Policy Board is put together of players, right? Picked.
Yeah.
Elected by the players. Do you know who is now a newbie on the PGA Tour Policy Board?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Brooks Koepka.
Ooh.
Oh, buddy.
The policy.
I just want to be in that first meeting.
Is that policy as in how you can act on the discipline?
It's everything about retirement and health care and what we need to change, the tournaments. I mean, it's an advisory board, basically.
Okay.
And they just have meetings and talk about everything. So,
well, again, Tiger was a big reason that they even, and I'm not saying they didn't have this board before, but a big reason for the pension. People are usually pretty unaware, even if you follow golf, that golfers, tour players, have a pension system that they didn't really have, if I'm not mistaken. But back, you talk about, you know, Trevino and Nicklaus's days, didn't really have. They weren't that organized, and maybe there wasn't enough to go around or whatever the reason was. Tiger comes along, and everybody starts, instead of playing for, if you remember back when he came, the winner's purse was about $300,000. Very quickly, it got to $1 million to win a professional golf tournament. And now it's about $1.6 million, probably, for the average tournament. The big ones are almost $3 million. All of that, very attributable to Tiger. And since Tiger's come in, they've decided, well, there's a lot more money floating around. We, as tour players, should get a piece of it based on how many cuts you make, based on numbers of wins and all entrants into tournaments, all these things. And it's a big pot of gold, Frank.
You know, I misspoke. The Player Advisory Council, I'm sorry, not the policy board, but the Player Advisory Council.
Okay.
Is the new thing. So for 2022.
Those guys do, when you talk about pension, everybody's saying, well, don't they make it? Well, first of all, a lot of them don't. You know, our good friend Paul Stankowski will tell you that, yeah, golfers usually make a pretty good living, but they certainly aren't all, don't have six cars in your driveway and have private jets. You know, Paul Stankowski now on the senior tour, but a lot of guys, they're flying commercial, right? They're not all, so the handful do, but the rest of them, the money trickles down. And yeah. I think for guys that you and I could name, but maybe have never won, but occasionally give good finishes or here and there play well, there'd be several million dollars. If you can hang on to your tour card, part of the motivation, make it on the tour and hang on to it, there'll be several million dollars for you at the end of a nice little 12, 15-year career if you can play on the tour. So, yeah, good for them.
Maybe. Russell Knox is on it, too. Graham McDowell, Maverick McNeely, Trey Mullinax, John Rahm, really? Webb Simpson, Will Zalatoris is on the new 2022 Player Advisory Council.
Is that right?
Paul Casey, Austin Cook, Joel Dahman, Harry Higgs. Harry needs to. He needs a really high-end clothing sponsor, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does, big time. Billy Horschel, you know? And, of course, Brooks, Koepka. I can see it now. It's going to be great. Koepka's just going to say, oh, y'all are full of it. Shut up.
Yeah.
It's going to be some fun stuff. It's going to be a great tournament. That golf course, PGA West, is incredible.
Yeah. Low numbers, usually, if the wind's not blowing. That could definitely is. That's, if I'm not mistaken, where Duval shot a 59. Did he not?
He did. He sure did.
Years ago or something. Yeah. So, final round 59 as well.
Yeah. I think. People forget how good David Duval was. He was number one in the world over Tiger. I mean.
Well, until Tiger decided to. Tiger got to be number one pretty quickly.
Yeah, he did.
Right? Yes, didn't he win in Milwaukee, like kind of right out of the gate? And
after a few tournaments, not his first tournament or anything.
But pretty quickly, he got to be right out there, number one. But yeah, right before that was David Duval. So he's a very, very, very
David,
good player.
Remember the one year they in March at the Players Championship, the old TPC, when I was still living down there at Sawgrass? David Duval won it. And he was the only player under par, and he was one under.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Tell me they didn't set that course up for that March wind and cool breeze in Jacksonville, Florida. Ponte Vedra Beach, I should say.
I remember going to La Quinta to work for PGA Tour Radio, however long ago it was, several years ago. And I hadn't been doing many events until then, so I show up, and as always, kind of deer in the headlights, like, where do I go? What's what? I'd never been to that place before. And meet the producer and the guys I'm supposed to. Okay. And then out of nowhere, a cart pulls up, and it's Dennis Paulson.
Oh, DP.
And he goes, hey, I'm Dennis. I'm Tim. And we introduced him. Well, get in with me. Let's drive around the course. So we literally got in, and he drove around the course in a golf cart to kind of point out this and this, but at the same time, say hi to 9,000 people.
Of course.
That all knew him. And this guy. And then there were guys playing. It was a pro-am day. It was like a Tuesday or something. And he'd yell at some of the guys that were playing over there. But we drove through the whole, around the whole course, which is a very, if you've ever been there, very compact,
tight
golf course, because there's houses everywhere.
Yep.
So literally we drove through people's yards. I go, is this part of the course? He goes, no. He says, it's a guy's yard. But he goes, if we don't do this, I got to go over here and then take a left and I can't get through. So just
that's
go,
DP.
Through guy, go through this guy's yard. I go, okay, I'm glad you're driving. So yeah, it was interesting, a lot of fun. And that's also the course that, when you're watching, you'll see, because it's built in the Rock Mountains, if you will. I have a hard time calling them mountains. It's not like the Rockies, but that are just, there's no grass or greenery right around. It's all out in the desert.
Yeah.
So it's all just rocks that sometimes go up 500 feet. And out of those rocks on 16, 17, 18 are these big rams, right? Rams, like goats, animals, rams. And they're rams, huge. Yeah. They're like 400 pounds. They're big, and they don't care who you are. So the golfers have to wait or hit over them, because they'll sit there and graze on the fairways. It's pretty fascinating, actually. I mean, they're really kind of cool, but they come out of those mountains.
Who else was on the broadcast team that year when you were doing that tournament? DP? If it was DP, it was probably Fred Albers, too.
It was Fred Albers. Yeah, it was Fred and Dennis and I, and I think there was
Earl was hosting.
Right. Yeah, Earl, but I think there was one other guy, because you remember it was three courses.
Yeah,
right.
That you used to have four rovers.
Rotate around, yeah. So I think there's, and I'm trying to remember who the other one was. Will, I think maybe Will.
Will Haskett.
Haskett, there you go.
Yeah, I remember when I was doing it with Doug Haskett, Bell, and it was in Memphis. I said, come on, Doug, let's go see the course. I kind of pulled a DP because I know Southwind very well. And I was running all through the back. He said, you need to go that way. I said, no, this is a shortcut. I was cutting through the back. And going everywhere. And
yeah.
Stopped and had a cold beer at a friend's house. And I said, hold on a minute. I said, hey, give me a beer. We had a big
local
time.
Knowledge. Local knowledge.
Local knowledge, good. Brother. Yeah. So it's going to be a good tournament. It's going to be fun. We're supposed to be doing a live show from the PGA Merchandise Show next week.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And so we'll be doing reporting. I'm thinking about getting
full transparency. We probably won't go, and maybe it's a tough time with COVID and everything else to be going.
Yeah.
But we certainly know people that are going to be there, and we want just like the listeners out there. Want to know what is going on out there and what new equipment or anything else. Yeah. So we will have people that will be joining us on the show. So be sure to join us during that week that we'll talk to people out there in Orlando.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm 60-40 right now. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it has to do with COVID. Absolutely has to do with COVID.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to do too and tell our listeners is that we probably will have, we're going to get on this today, as a matter of fact, the major manufacturers on the show next week. They won't be at the show, but we're going to have them on Golf Talk America. We're going to bring a couple of them in, maybe somebody from PXG, maybe somebody from Titleist, maybe someone from TaylorMade with that new carbon fiber rocket launcher they have. And, just talk about some of that stuff. Since they won't be at the show, I mean, we might as well do a virtual show with them.
But people love, and here's the thing about the merchandise shows, people in golf love equipment. There's no two ways around it. There's no other sport like it. Nobody that plays basketball, right, whether it's college or pickup with your buddies or whatever it is.
They like tennis shoes.
Nobody gets into all the equipment. What kind of basketball do you have? Is it a new basketball? Is it a different leather? No, nobody cares. There's not the equipment. Now, maybe if you play hockey or something and you care about, and you're playing at a high level or something, you care about skates
cup.
And all that. There's a lot of equipment in hockey. There's a lot of equipment in golf.
There's some critical equipment in hockey, too.
In hockey, yeah. But, I'm telling you, it's not like that. Golfers, no matter if you're 80 years old or 12 and just picking up the game, you care about the technology, some more than others, but what kind of shafts? Is that a fiberglass? What's that made out of? The heads, as we were talking about with Art, what kind of trampoline effect? I mean, all that stuff is pretty common talk among golfers because we all know that this is what Bryson hits or this is what Spieth hits and does it matter? We can all play their equipment to some degree. And so that I don't know how that's going to shake out with the merchandise show because fans of golf still care about a lot about the equipment. Now, maybe they don't care if you all go to a show somewhere, but a lot of the people we're talking about, Frank, certainly it was companies that were going, but a lot of the people were just people off the street that wanted to walk the aisles like you would at any convention and kick the tires, right?
Yeah, but, they can't. I mean, it wasn't open to the public. I mean, it was just PGA professionals and media and invited guests. But, a lot of the guys brought their wives or kids, whatever, and they, kick in the tires. And then some people can get in. If you have friends, say, hey, can I get in tomorrow? Can I have a badge? So, we do that for people.
Yeah.
I think I had 20 producers one year.
Yeah, I was going to say. I certainly met a lot of people that the only part of the golf business they were in is paying money at the end of 18 holes to their buddies.
Yeah, we had a good time down there, though, doing that stuff. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun being on that stage and having all the people that we've had at one time. I mean, on Golf Talk America, it's a lot of fun, but it's totally different. It's not going to be that way this year, so there's our decision. Probably is made. So anyway,
All right.
We'll figure it out. We're done. All right. Let's get out of here then. I'm ready for Bloody Mary. How about you?
Ready for something.
Yeah, boy.
All right. Well, we do appreciate everybody listening to us. Be sure to tell your friends about Golf Talk America on any platform, whatever platform you have that you can listen to our podcast. It's right there for you, Golf Talk America. And also go to golftalkamerica.com if you want to comment or check out what we're up to as well online. Thanks to Art Selinger, Selinger's Power Golf, for joining us today and talking about pretty much everything on the planet. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate you guys spending time with us. And please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.